This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
You can stick it to the man and big tech. Join our FTL social mastodon at social.freetalklive.com.
To Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. Here in the second hour, we are going to try and wrap up final few thoughts on the GOP presidential debate that happened this week. But we have lots of other things to cover also. I'm Henry Reins.
I'm Mark Edge.
And we beat the economy up pretty much in that last segment. Even more than evidently Joe Biden did to the Republican candidates. But I do want to point out just a couple things on whether the president actually has much effect on how many jobs are created in the economy based on, you know, recent history, like the last, well, to me, recent history, the last 50 years. It's, for some people, that seems like forever ago. Let's start by just looking at Donald Trump and Barack Obama. Now, as I said earlier, a lot of the, or at least some of the Republican candidates were saying, oh, we'll create 10 million jobs in my first term as president. And how is it? That sounds like a big number, but what does it really stack up to? Now, when you compare Donald Trump's first 36 months in office to President Obama, you have to remember President Obama took over in the Great Recession. So the worst job losses started under President George W. Bush, rolled into the first part of President Obama's term. So this number is actually a comparison with the recovery. So Donald Trump on these particular dates, which came from the beginning of 2020, looks at the first 3 years of Donald Trump versus the best 3 years of President Obama. So first 36 months of President Trump, 6.6 million jobs were created. The 36-month period that we're comparing in Obama's tenure was 8.1 million jobs, but he's coming out of a deficit of jobs, a loss of jobs. So
there's an opportunity to have to build more jobs.
Still, you got 6.6 million, 8.1 million. Well, then let's compare it to other presidents. Jimmy Carter, remember he was supposed to have, well, you don't remember.
Well, I was alive during Jimmy Carter. I wasn't, I probably wasn't somebody you should be asking about presidential economic policy. But I would say this, that he is widely considered to be the worst president of my lifetime. And I think that it's pretty unfairly labeled.
Right. And again, it's one of those things where, the two things, the Iran hostage crisis definitely put a negative spin on his presidency. But also, there was a lot of talk about the economic malaise. It was probably the first time I ever heard malaise used in politics was back then with Jimmy Carter. Well, at Jimmy Carter's first 3 years in office, and remember, the population of the U.S. was smaller then, 10.1 million jobs created. More than the first 3 years of President Trump, or the best 3 years of President Obama. Bill Clinton's term, Bill Clinton was considered to have a successful presidency economics-wise, although he was coming following the George H.W. presidency, which the last year or year and a half there was recessionary, not the deep recession, but recessionary. Bill Clinton got 8.5 million jobs created in the first 36 months. Lyndon Johnson, who in the first 36 months, which I guess would be actually 64, even though he won the 64 election, he started before 64 because President Kennedy died at the end of 1963, he created, or I fell into the trap there.
Right, right. We're saying it, but yeah. You said it before too.
7.8 million jobs during the first 36 months. So actually, of President Trump, President Obama, President Clinton, Bill Carter, and Johnson, Jimmy Carter had the best numbers, which probably, if you were to ask that as a multiple choice question,
it would probably not be where, what people would think.
Right. So,
which president created more? Which president is was in office during the most job creation in a 3-year period? And then you give three of those choices that you, four of those choices you just had. Carter being one of them, I'll bet you people wouldn't guess.
I would not have picked Jimmy Carter without having done the research on all this. So to get out of, get us out in this segment of the Republican debate, which we've covered exhaustively, probably not just us exhaustively, but there's two things I want to get to on this. One was Ukraine. And the other is the abortion debate. Let's start with Ukraine.
So just to say about the Republican debate, this is instructive because one of the major parties in the United States got to get out on stage and talk about all the things that are important to it, including a war that right now is sucking up a lot of Americans' tax money. Whether it's tax money they've got to pay now or just tax money they've got to pay in the future, it's, you know, soaking it in like a sponge.
I think that Nikki Haley, and I'm saying this from memory, I don't have the number in front of me, I think she said that the we've appropriated $160 billion for Ukraine.
Doesn't sound
like
accurate.
Big money. But really, in both in terms of waging a war and in the overall budget of the United States, it's not that big a number yet. Yeah.
Well, as far as I'm concerned, it's too big. But you know, ask the people in Maui whether it's big or not. You know, they're probably asking for some disaster relief and getting far less.
Well, you. You can fix disasters for less than $160 billion a lot.
What is war but in a disaster?
Well, I guess that was a little hard-hearted. oh, and we also forgot. Let me quickly, let me insert one more thing on here. Because the candidates are asked, would they support Donald Trump? You know, these are all eight Republicans vying to be president. And but the elephant in the room, if you will, is going to happen with President Trump.
The elephant with the with the comb over in the room.
Yes, with his I see. I'm tempted to say the big orange elephant in the room, but that would be going for the cheap shot, and you know I am above that.
I don't believe you're above that for a second, but I say go for the cheap shot.
They were asked, this was like a yes-no question, that would you support President Trump if he was the party's nominee, even if he was convicted of a crime? Arkansas Governor Asa Hutchinson said was no. He was a no from a firm no. And I wish you could see the video of this, Mark, because working from right to left, and so Hutchinson was on the far left, not politically, but on the far left of the stage. And then Chris Christie.
Don't think that goes lost on somebody.
Yeah. And then just left of the middle was Ron DeSantis. And on the right-hand side, and then between DeSantis and Nikki Haley was Mike Pence, who, remember, had a lot to do with how the election played out. Or the counting of the votes, electoral votes played out on January 6th. And as you went over, you got the Nebraska governor and you got Ramaswamy there. And so the four on the right, their hands went up almost in unison. Ramaswamy, he was up there almost at the speed of light with his hand because he had also said, I will tell you right now that I will pardon Donald Trump when, and Pence was like,
I believe he got a thank you from Donald Trump, by the way. He's so
obsequious. Pence interjected, you seem very sure he's going to be convicted.
That's a nice...
I said it with a little more snarkiness than Mike Pence did. Anyway, Nikki Haley's hand goes up. The governor from North Dakota goes up. Doug, what's his name? Which is what we'll be saying in another 8 months about him. Then Pence went up reluctantly, and DeSantis, I don't know if his went up before Pence, but visibly on the stage, you can see him wait until a majority of other hands went up before he put his hand up. Hmm. And there, in that profile of courage moment for Governor Ron DeSantis, he raises his hand, and Mark can see my hand, and it's like, I guess he had arthritis in his shoulder trying to get it.
As a Harvard attorney, I can appreciate him, listening to the entire statement rather than just, jumping right in, and then to go ahead and think about it for a second. I can appreciate that. I don't have a problem with that.
See which way the wind's blowing.
Now, here's my statement is that if Donald Trump's convicted, it doesn't mean anything to me. I think that the jury system is so corrupt in the United States that I why in the world would we ask 12 ignoramuses their opinion on this particular topic? But I'm reminded of the Alan Dershowitz quote. You know what? I'm not going to call it a quote. I'm going to encapsulate it because I can't do it. But basically what he says is if you want a conviction, then charge him with RICO or conspiracy or any of these sort of thought crimes, these frame of mind crimes, because you're much more likely to get the conviction with a frame of mind, because people use the reasonable person standard, than if you you don't, and you're much more likely to have that conviction overthrown on appeal, which is where law is actually made. So my opinion is they're going to have a very difficult time keeping whatever conviction they get, but they're just trying to tie him up, and that's fine. It's all part of the game, I guess.
Well, Chris Christie appeared to raise his hand, but he really just raised his finger because that was the symbol for "I want to talk." And then he had clarified that no, he would not support President Trump, but he did not want to lose a soundbite talking about it on the premiere of the debate season.
I'm curious. I'm more curious what the lawyers in the crowd said than anybody else. I guess if Ramaswamy's a businessman, he's like, do you support Trump or not? Yes, I support Trump because that's going to be good for me.
Oh, Ramaswamy was, climate change is a hoax. I'll say it, and all these other people are bought and paid for. Or you could say, I'll say climate change is a hoax, because I'm just a loose cannon and we don't have to actually govern anything. All right, Ukraine. I said we wanted to get to that. Two standouts here, not for good reasons, were Ramaswamy and DeSantis. DeSantis had gotten into trouble earlier in the campaign when he called the war in Ukraine a territorial dispute.
It sounds like a territorial dispute. That sounds like an accurate assessment.
No, that's... it's much more than that, but okay. Everything is a territorial dispute then. But it is the largest land war and the most destructive land war on the continent of Europe since World War II. So I think when you call it a territorial dispute, that minimizes what's going on over there. It's the largest invasion that has happened since World War II.
If NATO cared, why didn't they step in when Ukraine was silencing political activists that wanted to, in the East, that wanted to secede? Why were they stopping people from running for office, throwing candidates in jail, and a whole variety of things? I mean,
because it's not about that. It's about imperialism, and you have the struggle between...
You mean shoving the Ukrainian government on a bunch of Russians who don't want it?
No, it's about getting control of the energy resources in your industrial and economic bloc and keeping it out of the Russian economic bloc And that's what it is for Russia, too. It's the Russian imperial reassertion of its sphere of influence in Eastern Europe. And it's leads also, we, you know, we can go all the way back to the fall of the Soviet Union and the George H.W. Bush administration, Secretary of State Jim Baker, and their stated intentions not to expand NATO eastward. But all of that's water under the bridge now. Because since we invaded Afghanistan and started to place our pieces on the chessboard in Central Asia, the imperial struggle has gone on as under the George W. Bush administration and carried through with the administrations that have followed that, with some with more enthusiasm than others. But we're in the midst of an imperial confrontation, and that
Oceania has always been at war with Eurasia.
Yes, or at peace.
Oceania has always been at peace with Eurasia.
All right. As I told my accountant 2 years ago when he asked me, how do you think Joe Biden's handling this? I said, we will fight to the last Ukrainian. And
I have repeated that quote since then. It is prescient.
Yes. So where were we? We have a struggle. Oh, that's right. We have a struggle going on. And so DeSantis was woefully, I don't want to even say ignorant, woefully pandering when he first said that, I think, to Tucker Carlson. And because Tucker Carlson was carrying the water for the anti-support for Ukraine.
And people carrying the water.
No. Okay. A couple different metaphors there. Anyway, but unfortunately for DeSantis, he was surrounded by Mike Pence, who as vice president was, you know, well embedded in the imperialist establishment of the United States of America as vice president and carrying on that. Whether Donald Trump wants to admit it or not, when he surrounded himself with Mike Pompeo, and is that Pompeo's first name, Mike? Yeah. And who came out of the CIA and then made him Secretary of State. And, you know, John Bolton for National Security Advisor, who was part of the neocon movement. So Donald Trump's administration was imperialistic, even though at the same time his people surrounding him were the elite imperialists of the establishment. All Donald Trump was able to do was undermine NATO in his early years in the administration, which we'll go off on that. See, anyway, I don't want to get too sidetracked on this. Ron DeSantis was just parroting what he thought Tucker Carlson's audience wanted to hear and what he has done throughout his preparation to run for presidency is to create talking points, whether it's anti-wokeness or going against Disney or all these other things.
Well,
he was just being Ron DeSantis. Let me get to Ramaswamy.
Well, before you go on, I have a question. Isn't Tucker Carlson's audience largely anti-war? I would describe Tucker that way. That he's, you know, much more of a, you know, let's not use the military to solve this problem kind of Republican. Which I have a lot of sympathy for this particular position. DeSantis doesn't strike me that way.
Right. Well, DeSantis came out of the Annapolis, right? He was came through the naval. You got to be a little pro-military if you're going to the military academy,
Naval Officer Corps. Yeah.
But I think Tucker Carlson. I don't know how sincere he is about that, but that has been his position. Going back into into the Obama administration, because he was anti the neocons, and he had Tulsi Gabbard on his show who spoke to that position too. So I will say he gave voice to it. I don't know if that's really how he feels, because I used to listen to him when he'd come on Bubba the Love Sponge every week. And you know,
one's opinion can change in a decade.
Well, sometimes.
I understand.
All right. Robert Kwame, you know, he said that, you know, that he would cut off funding, or that he would not continue funding, or he would be skeptical of funding. But what got me was when he said, this isn't of our vital interest. And if you were to say that, I could understand where you were coming from. But if you're running for president of the United States and you think Eastern Europe on the border with NATO is not a vital interest, then you're really either naive or pandering or just not very deep thinker about it, because now NATO is there. And if it spills over into the NATO countries, you know, we're involved.
Poland probably thinks it's a vital interest.
Yes. And we, you know.
But I would remind everyone that the last time a missile struck Poland, the news media was very quick to say, looks like a Russian missile hit Poland. Then we find out a little later, turns out it's Ukrainian.
George H.W. Bush said we weren't going to make Poland part of NATO. But that's all.
Yeah, well, that's water under the bridge, right?
Yes. So Ramaswamy says, no. But what we really need to be, not Ukraine, that we need to be worried about the Russia-China alliance.
I agree that the Russia-China alliance sounds very bad.
If you got the Silk Belt Road initiative that goes through Eurasia, and you have all these things, that it's all integrated. It's, you know, the pipelines are going through Ukraine, are going through Turkey. You know, that is part of the industrial economic complex that they're trying to build and establish as the center of gravity of the global economy.
So the pipelines that are left.
Well, you can build more pipelines. The routes don't go away.
And Biden can act like he doesn't know what anybody's talking about the whole time.
Mark, I wanted to put this to bed in this segment. We are still. I don't even have time to tell you what Nikki Haley said to Ramaswamy about that. I'm going to have to do that on the other side of these messages. And really, I will not let Mark drag me through this for more than one more segment after this. But it would be a great segment. You have my word on this. Like the presidential candidates, you can take my word to the bank. You're listening to Reins and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network.
Silver has always been nature's very own antibiotic, and only one system allows you to generate an endless supply of natural silver solutions. SilverLungs.com. You'll find no wild claims or pseudoscience, just a lifetime of nano-sized pure silver solutions. The Silver Lungs generator allows you to make your own, so stop paying for silver solutions. The unique lung delivery system targets respiratory infections where other silver solutions simply cannot reach. See the Silver Lungs generator and lung delivery system at SilverLungs.com. That's SilverLungs.com.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
USA News Update. Maui County officials are releasing an updated, validated list of those reported missing after wildfires on the island.
The list compiled by the FBI includes the names of 388 people who are still unaccounted for, down from the more than 1,000 the FBI estimated were missing Tuesday. There's no change in the death toll, which stands at 115. I'm Dave Collins.
All of the co-defendants in Donald Trump's Georgia election interference case have now surrendered to authorities. deputies, all 19 indicted in the case, have turned themselves in to the Fulton County Jail ahead of Friday's deadline. This comes after Trump turned himself in Thursday. Union workers at the Big Three automakers are closer to going on strike. 97% of UAW members have voted in favor of authorizing union leaders to call a strike if talks with the Big Three don't reach a deal by mid-September. I'm Ryan Daniels, USA News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Extend your life with ExtendoVite.
Everyone around me seems to get sick but me. My brother got the flu twice. My mother was down with some sort of fever. People at work were taking sick days off, and others were just plain tired and run down. And me? Well, I just keep feeling great all the time with Extendivite. My grandfather used to talk about the power of garlic and other herbs he took that kept him healthy. I'm lucky. Extendivite was just what I needed to keep me healthy, and Extendivite is all natural. Extendivite was designed for the heart, but does so much more by keeping me healthy all the time. I'll take Extendivite forever. Get your 2-month supply for only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. My name is Rick, and you can be like me just by calling 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Appreciate what we do? Help us advertise, market, and promote for just $5 a month at amp.freetalklive.com.
It's Reigns and Edge on the Free Talk Live Network. I'm Henry Reigns.
I'm Mark Edge.
And as promised, we are back here, and I am holding Mark's feet to the fire, giving me a good toasting, metaphorically, because I will finally get to tell him and you all what Nikki Haley and Ramaswamy were fussing and fighting over at the GOP debate. And we're going to try and put this whole thing to bed in this segment and move on to other items of import. But we were talking about Ukraine. We were talking about the different positions. We talked about DeSantis and some of his comments about the territorial dispute, etc. And then we talked about Ramaswamy. He had said he was did not find it in our vital interest.
What?
He said,
what's not in our vital interest?
Pardon me?
What is it that's not in our vital interest?
Giving money to the Ukrainian government to fight the war in their eastern part of the country and trying to reclaim territory, etc.
All right.
He said, I find it offensive that we have professional politicians who make a pilgrimage to Kiev to their Pope Zelensky without doing the same. You know, that's really offensive to the people of Ukraine because they actually have a couple of different Orthodox churches. They have the Russian Orthodox Church. They have, I believe, the Greek Orthodox Church, or one of the offshoots of that.
It's the Orthodox Church, yeah.
Yeah. Well, there's multiple Orthodox churches. I didn't really know that until I saw the conflict between the different branches that have representation in Ukraine.
Anyway, screw them. They can use my dollars to dab their eyes.
Who is dabbing their eyes with your dollars, Mark?
Zelensky, for one.
He's not crying.
You think he leaves poor from this office?
No, of course not.
I bet he doesn't.
talking about that. I'm talking about disrespecting the people and churches of Ukraine by calling Zelensky their pope.
I think Zelensky has undue power over the American people, and that's probably what they're talking about.
Yeah. Well, anyway, to recount, professional politicians will make a pilgrimage to Kiev to their pope, Zelensky, without doing the same for the people in Maui or the south side of Chicago. President Biden has gone to Maui. I don't know if, I'm sure sometime he's been to Chicago. I don't know which side he was on. But
I think this is an old saw, right? Like, how come you're giving money to this foreign government when you could be giving it to the American people? And I get it. Like, I think it plays well. But in fact, I say, if you give money to anybody, it's just going to be wasted. Government money is, money you didn't earn. And the money you didn't earn just gets blown anyway.
Nikki Haley accused Ramaswamy of wanting to, quote, hand Ukraine to Russia and, quote, let China eat Taiwan. You are choosing a murderer, Haley said. And then in response, Ramaswamy said, I wish you success on your future career on the boards of Lockheed and Raytheon. Haley shot back. You have no foreign policy experience, and it shows.
And the governor of South Dakota does?
Well,
know what she is?
He was keeping his mouth shut in that exchange. So.
No. I mean, isn't that what Nikki Haley is? No, what is she? I'm sorry, what's her experience?
She's the former ambassador to the UN and the governor of South Carolina.
South Carolina. Okay.
Yeah.
I see. Ambassador to the UN, yeah.
Yeah, that's a little bit more than Ramaswamy.
Win to wage war. these people blowing up other people's kids have done such a great job so far.
I do have no confidence that Ramaswamy is doing anything but saying what he thinks.
I think he's also talking about sending the military across the Mexican border to, for incursions there to solve the drug problem.
He's for that too?
I believe he is.
No, we wouldn't want to ascribe him something that he isn't for. But maybe if we applaud not enough for it, he'll say it. Anyway, the other thing that isn't directly to this is when Mike Pence had, we haven't really talked about Nikki Haley and the abortion argument. And when they got in on that, on the debate, moderators, I think it was Marsh McCollum, said to Governor DeSantis, Governor DeSantis, you signed a 6-week abortion ban in the state of Florida. Will you sign a 6-week abortion ban for the federal government? And he said, let me tell you what I want to talk about. He went off on a tangent. And there are
didn't want to talk about abortion, apparently.
Yeah, there are other states. Well, he stands for life, et cetera. Anyway, he never answered that question. Nikki Haley tried to thread the needle on this when she said, why don't we level with the American people? We're not going to get a federal law passed. We don't have 60 votes in the Senate. And we won't get a majority now in the House. Let's leave it with the states. Let's try and build a consensus. To what Mike Pence said in one of those lines that if I were Scooby-Doo, I might go, rrr. And he goes, well, consensus is not leadership. I'm like, I thought leaders build consensus. But that was just me and an offshoot of that. Anyway, Nikki Haley was saying, can't we not demonize women? Can't we? And one of the most telling lines was something to the effect of, why do we have to tell women they have to decide this issue, as in decide in the voting booth? In other words, don't let the women think that they need to vote, for their respective rights.
Mm-hmm.
Let's let them think that nothing will happen if they just vote for us. When every one of these politicians that was in office has signed off on stricter abortion bans, and it was all very disingenuous, but it does speak to how worried they are about this issue, that even Mike Pence and some of the other ones were, Mike Pence even was like, well, he didn't answer the 6-week question or the federal question. He goes, I mean, he did it indirectly. He goes, 70% of the people want, of the electorate wants a 15-week abortion ban. And the other ones were also talking about how the Democrats want abortion on demand up until the date of birth, which we've talked about this before. It doesn't happen.
It's very rare. It's
because of the life of the mother.
Right. The vast majority of the time that they do a third trimester abortion, and I'm talking about, you know, the so-called late term, I think is probably the better term to use, because that's the politically charged one. So these late term abortions are generally employed when they are employed, and they're pretty rare, comparatively. They're employed to save the life of the mother. And, like, that's the context that one needs to talk about these in. You know, if somebody's out there executing their baby.
Abortion on demand the day before the birth.
Right. If that's what they're doing, do we want them raising a baby? And I don't know. Does it make a difference? I mean, like, how are you going to make the world a better place by incarcerating a mom who shoots their one-day-old baby? Doesn't seem like you're making the world a better place.
I think it's rare to find a doctor that would be willing to do that, too. So,
yeah, I think it is.
Yes.
Especially if it's just for convenience.
What we do have are actual cases now of where doctors, like in Texas or some of these other states, are telling women that are pregnant with a non-viable child to let them wait for a miscarriage or a stillbirth rather than terminate the pregnancy. And I can't tell you I've read dozens of stories like that, but I've at least read high single digits of stories of this happening, anecdotal stories of this happening, which is probably a higher number than people that have abortions for on-demand reasons before the date of birth.
Yeah, I'm not torn on this issue. I'm pretty clear where I'm at. But, you know, I'll go ahead and say that an abortion is ending a human life. It's just that I don't think that politicians, I mean, seriously, pandering, lying politicians ought to get between you and your doctor? That sounds ridiculous to me.
And I won't dig into the issue here, but both Tim Scott and Nikki Haley weighed in on the most important issue that a president will have to deal with in the next administration, and that's whether male trans women or trans men are using the right bathroom. I guess they would be young men, young women, because it all seems to revolve around schools. Although here in Florida, the Department of Education just made a rule, it's not a law, because it's something that they're delegated to, that staff at universities that don't use the restroom in accordance with the new law, because there's two things. So there's a new law that says you have to use the bathroom that's on your birth certificate.
Okay.
And if a staff...
Wait, somebody checking that?
Let me finish this part. If a staff person that's employed by the universities or schools don't do that, it's grounds for termination and they will be terminated. Which, yeah, that's
all right.
It's something
seems like we should have a few more of those.
I'm worried about. Anyway. There was another thing related to that I was going to say, but I already lost my mind.
Look, I think these high school kids have gone soft. Look, if you're not going into the boys' bathroom in high school with your handkerchief over your mouth so that you can breathe through all the cigarette smoke, you don't know what it's like to suffer in the bathroom.
Well, they aren't, because there'd be vaping in there.
Right. Now it's vaping.
Yeah.
But when I was a kid, we had to run the gauntlet of long-haired stoners, deo-wearing t-shirt kids.
I was at a wrestling show about 3 or 4 weeks ago that was held in a Pinellas County high school in the cafetorium. You know, they have a cafeteria that doubles it as an auditorium.
Okay.
And I use the restroom. And I was very surprised to see. I don't know if this is a thing now that is sort of the way things are constructed, but it makes sense that they would do it this way. The urinals were in a stall with a door. A single urinal in a stall with a door. And the stall.
Never seen that.
Everything was a stall, an individual stall.
Okay.
And the stalls only had about 6 inches of clearance at the bottom.
Yeah.
So.
That's for mopping, by the way.
I would think so. But I mean, the privacy was extensive and.
Yeah. Higher than it was when
I was in school.
Yeah. I think that's one thing that parents kind of get stuck on is that there's a move towards more privacy in bathrooms. And, I mean, I don't have a problem with it. I'm for privacy in bathrooms. I can imagine as a business owner, it's probably more expensive. But, you know, I mean, that's what people seem to want. And it seems like it'll cut down on some problems.
Well, you're not going to find that at the baseball game, I don't think. But
right.
It's a captive audience. So, I know what I wanted to say to you. This is what, because you were saying who checks the birth certificates?
Yeah, who's checking birth certificates?
Well, in this whole thing, let me give Nikki Haley's, parents need to be deciding which schools their kids go to because they know best. And let's put vocational classes back into high school. Vocational classes are in high school. Let's teach our kids to build things again. I don't know what that means. When we do that and we allow that innovation, that's when I'll get back. And yes, I will always say I'm going to fight for girls all day long because strong girls, because strong women become strong leaders, and biological boys don't belong in the locker rooms of any of our girls. And that was her closing statement on that issue. But what I was going to say is when you say who will check, who will go to the trouble of checking birth certificates, there is, it was last year, so possibly they graduated, a female athlete that was exceptionally skilled and proficient and head and shoulders above all the other young women that she was competing with. And this was in Utah. And the parents of the other female athletes felt that there was no way that she could have been born with, you know, female genitals and grown into the female that she was. And they insisted on getting, and I don't know what the laws in Utah is, how they can do this, the records of this young woman all the way back to kindergarten to make sure that she, in kindergarten, she was enrolled with the girl's name that she had in high school.
Well, it's a good thing that we have government records of students going all the way back to kindergarten. So these things can be pulled up when lunatics wish to use the state in order to, just hunt down their stuff. I mean, you know, first it's the girls, athletes in Utah. Then it's Japanese Americans being put in internment camps.
Or Chinese that want to buy farmland in the U.S.
Well,
but you remember back in school when they say this will go on your permanent record. Back in kindergarten?
Apparently. I don't know if they told me that in school, but
no. Oh, I heard that.
Yes.
Not to me directly, it was, you know, to some of the troublemakers.
The permanent record thing
I complied.
Was a threat in the past. Yeah. So no doubt. But
compliant student for most of my studential career.
Yeah, if you don't have a little conflict with the school, then you know, you don't have anything to talk about.
Well, we have talked about Tucker Carlson today, and we've talked about President Trump and about President Trump not being in the debate, but he in turn did an interview with Tucker Carlson that was to be released during the debate. I don't know if that was just a...
Was that because he was on his way to... Was that the way, because he was on his way to the county jail?
No, Thursday night is when he was on the way to the county jail. This was to be published Wednesday evening.
Oh, okay.
And Tucker Carlson asked him, and you know, we got to remember, President Trump is under Secret Service protection. It's still.
Sure. Yep.
He said to Trump, it started with protests against you, and then it moved to impeachment twice and now indictment. Are you worried that they're going to try and kill you? Why wouldn't they try and kill you? Honestly, there's some journalistic inquiry to which Trump responded, they're savage animals. They're people that are sick. So, which is the more surprising? That Tucker would answer that question? I mean, would ask that question?
Yeah.
Or that people would take it seriously?
Well, I think if you think that the world is controlled by a secret cabal of, you know, one cabal, that, you know, these people get their way, that they used HAARP to set fire to Maui and, you know, that, you know, any variety of things, that you would have to ask yourself this question. How did Trump ever get to be president? How did he get to be such a good president, right? Because, you know, Reagan was supposedly this great guy until he got shot, at which point, you know, he became more statist or some theory. And then how is it that whomever does the assassinating of the people that with whom one disagrees, how is it that Trump has managed to evade these assassins?
Well, there's a time and place for everything, Mark.
Meaning that it's coming?
No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that if it were coming, there would be a time and a place.
Indeed, there would. I don't have an explanation. I'm just asking questions.
Well, you know who knows a lot about time and place and timing and placement?
Uh-huh.
That's Vladimir Putin.
Okay.
Because coincidentally, to this whole discussion, the Russian mercenary chief, you might have seen this week, it was in a lot of the papers and media, Yevgeny Prigozhin, also known as Putin's chef and also known as the head of the Wagner mercenary group out of Russia, and some of his top lieutenants were presumed dead in a plane crash that was widely seen Thursday as an assassination to avenge a mutiny that challenged President Vladimir Putin. Now, you remember that mutiny that happened, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago, maybe? It was a whole month?
Yeah.
Anyway, the founder of the Wagner Military Company and six other passengers were on a private jet that crashed Wednesday soon after taking off from Moscow. There was a crew of three, according to Russia's civil aviation authorities. Rescuers found 10 bodies, and Russian media cited anonymous sources in Wagner who said Prigozhin was dead. There's been no official confirmation at the time of this report. At Wagner's headquarters in St. Petersburg, lights were turned on in the shape of a large cross. Oh, that's appropriate. Several Russian social media channels reported that the bodies were burned or disfigured beyond recognition and would need to be identified by DNA. And I've already seen, you know, some people that are, or some speculation that, oh, he faked it, you know. Fake the death of everybody in his top leadership position. Because if you're going to do one, you need to do them all.
I was asking myself the question, what is he doing in Russia, period?
But even a semi-official commentator in Russia said, I think I would go with the obvious answer. Claimed on messaging apps the plane was deliberately downed or targeted, etc.
Where do you get 10 bodies is the first question I have.
Top associates listed on the manifest included Valery Chekalov, who was Wagner's logistics mastermind. Remember, they got to get stuff all over Africa and everything else. I mean, they have mining operations there. In charge of managing mercenaries and securing weapons. Yevgeny Makarian, who was wounded while fighting with Wagner in Syria. The crash also came the same week that Russian media reported that General Sergei Sorovikin, the top commander of Ukraine, who was reportedly linked to Prigozhin, was dismissed from his post. Who he probably has a little bit of a nervous twitch going down the street now. Basically, the people that died were in the top level of management of the Wagner Group, which is sort of unusual that they would all travel together.
He had one plane in a country that they just tried to stage a, call it a coup.
Yeah, but he had been able to come and go freely, so you get to that point where you've got to come and go, and then it's just sort of, you're just playing the odds.
I'd probably go, like, to some place that wasn't in Russia.
And there's some other things about the details of who they were, but evidently they were top leadership, including six of Prigozhin's lieutenants, and by lieutenants they don't mean you got a bar on your sleeve. They mean it's like Vladimir Putin, but he made his first public comments about that. He sent his condolences to the family. He said,
"Is that like a threat? Vladimir Putin sends his condolences to your family."
I've got it right here now. He said that it's sort of a tribute to Prigozhin. He was a man of difficult fate, made serious mistakes in life. But on the other hand, he said, was a talented person, a talented businessman, both in Russia and abroad, especially in Africa. I knew Prigozhin for a very long time, from the beginning of the 90s. So he's talked about him in the past tense, so I guess it must be.
Vladimir Putin believes he's dead.
Yeah.
It's very sad. When I think of Vladimir Putin, the first thing I think of is the Super Bowl ring he stole basically off the finger of an American footballer.
Well, we're going to have to remind people on that when we come back after these messages. You're listening to Grains and Edge on the Pre-Talk Live.
If you're concerned about the power grid and want to generate your own supply of off-grid electricity, this will be the most important message you'll hear this year. Here's why. We now have a small number of solar generators back in stock. These emergency backup systems provide life-saving backup power when you need it most. And unlike gas generators, solar generators run quietly, emit no dangerous fumes, and produce an endless supply of free electricity from the sun. Whether it's wildfires, dangerous weather, power grid issues, or just getting off the grid, you'll never have to suffer through painful power outages again. Even better, all this week, radio listeners get over $700 in free off-the-grid bonuses, too. Go to MySolarBackup.com to learn more and check availability. That's MySolarBackup.com. Look for the free report, Crisis Cooling, how to make absolutely sure your meat, milk, and medicines stay safe and cool in any power outage. Yours free at MySolarBackup.com.
You've been hearing Dr. Wallach talking about 90 essential nutrients, keeping the body healthy. GCNteam.com now has Beyond Tangy Tangerine tablets, 60 plant-derived minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, packed in a powerful tablet. But that's not it. 160,000 auric points, a knockout punch to free radicals. Call 877-878-4203 or go to GCNteam.com. That's 877-878-4203.
Anytime, any place, anywhere. Radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise@gcnlive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.